A story emerged yesterday that Rogers is at least contemplating the sale of the Toronto Blue Jays and perhaps the Rogers Center, either in whole or in part. And the reason they may want to do this, at least in part too, is because of the purchase of Shaw Cable System for a reported $26 billion. Now, Rogers has $20 billion apparently secured in debt financing, and maybe they're a little short on the other $6 billion. But that is the story that is out there. It Sportsnet and our friend Shai Davidi did not deny the story, but tried to mitigate it by suggesting that nothing is imminent. What do you make of this, Shannon?
A couple of things. First of all, it has resurfaced with the reemergence of Tony Staffieri as the interim chief executive officer. When Staffieri was the CFO of the company, he brought this up on a few of the conference calls with investors a few years back. The other part of this is as soon as I hear anything about Rogers sale, Rogers corporate sale of anything, I always think that the what the plan is that they're going to move it from one bucket to another, and Edward Rogers is going to buy, you know, the baseball team and the stadium and basically peel off all of the media and sports into his own world, similar to what we've seen with other companies, like the Dolan family did with Madison Square Garden and Madison Square Garden Network and the Rangers and the Knicks. That has always been my assumption. The story that came yesterday really didn't pique any interest of mine. Other than, well, okay, here it comes again, one more time.
I can't deny, you know, the story about Edward purchasing the sports and broadcast portion of Rogers, which is a relatively minuscule part of the company, has been out there for years and years and years.
Yes, it has. Yeah. And this now he has more control, Bob.
Yeah, this is, though, a little more specific. And it is, it does relate, at least allegedly, to the purchase of Shaw. And I wonder if that adds a little more credibility to it. And whether they look for an outside buyer or whether Edward is willing, wanting, has the ability to buy. Well, if the Blue Jays are said to be worth, and the stadium is said to be worth $2
billion, right?
Something in that neighborhood. The Maple Leaf, the assets of MLSE are said to be worth about $1.8
billion. That's their 37.5%.
Right. And the media, I couldn't even hazard a guess anymore of what that is worth. It's certainly not in the billions.
Yeah.
It would be in, I would think, maybe a couple of hundred million, maybe. I'm making a pure guess.
I wouldn't know. There are investment companies and analysts in New York City that do this all the time. So it would be premature for us to guess what that number is.
I just have a hard time thinking Edward would buy part of it.
I agree. I don't think he would. I think
he'd buy the whole shooting.
So do I, or at least controlling interest.
And then it raises the question of you know, the ongoing left pocket, right pocket economics, yeah, of, you know, how does this was always a complicated deal for Rogers in selling the broadcast rights, for example, to itself, where they could essentially do it for almost any number they wanted to make the numbers work.
Side, yeah. On the baseball side, yeah.
Yeah, on the baseball side. They don't have control of MLSE.
But they weren't even allowed to, even with their with their consortium with Bell, they weren't even allowed to set the price because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is works in the NHL. So
it's complicated. Well, yep. We'll see how it unfolds over the over time. Some hockey talk today. We're not quite at the quarter pole yet, though, are we?
No, we normally are, but the season started a week and a half late, so. We're usually the week of U.S. Thanksgiving. We're at the quarter pole, but we're about 10 days behind.
In any event, Darren Pang and Brian Lawton will join us, and we'll talk about what's going on in the National Hockey League and in hockey in general. A little about Evander Kane and teams that have surprised, and who knows what. We'll see what happens. We'll come back and begin the show after these messages. McCallum and Shannon with you, as per usual, and we're joined by a couple of the hockey pucks. Darren Pang of TNT and the St. Louis Blues on the lower right of my screen. I don't know where it is on yours. And well, Brian Lawton.
Don't be pointing at screens. Nobody knows what screens are.
A lot of people know what screens are.
No, but they don't know the location. Everybody has different...
watch this. You know, what? They don't just listen to it for reasons that are inexplicable. Anyway, Pang is here, and Brian Lawton of NHL Network is there. In where, Secaucus, New Jersey?
New York City right now. I'm in COVID protocol, hanging out in my apartment.
What?
The last five or six
Hold
days.
On a second. We have a news item here.
Losing my mind. Yeah.
Oh, lots.
it had to happen sooner or later. Panger, I take the damn subway. What's the matter with me? Why would I do that?
You know what? You know why? Because you think you're invincible, like all of us. We think it's not going to get us. It's going to get somebody else.
Right. Exactly. Well, it finally got me. I'm surprised it took so long with how much travel we all do and everything. But unfortunately, I have been tested positive on Wednesday. And, you know, I don't really have any symptoms, a little bit of congestion. I did lose a little bit of my sense of taste and smell, which has bummed me out. But if you do the research, almost everybody that's been vaccinated tends to go through that symptom. But other than that, I'm really more in danger of dying of boredom at this stage than anything else.
So having never lost my sense of taste or smell, tell me what that's about. And how the hell do you know you've lost it?
You know what? I have literally, if we walk down to the bathroom, I have like a little cologne. That's my test. And that's how I realized I lost it. I was like, I can't smell this at all. Really good if you're trying to lose weight, because you're not very hungry. And food doesn't taste very good, to be honest with you. So, you know, on a serious note, you can see how it affects people. I force myself to eat. I eat very healthy. I've been forcing myself to do that. It hasn't been my best meals. But that's what I've been doing. And I do think it's helpful. You gotta always eat healthy if you can. Should have done that when Panger and I were players. Takes us till the afterlife to figure it out. But that's where I'm at.
So how many episodes of Judge Judy have you watched, Brian?
No Judge Judy for me. I'm caught up on every show. Yellowstone, The Morning Show, you name it, whatever is out there streaming, I'm caught up on it. Have been able to get a little bit of work done, but you know, it's just I'm not in the worst place. I am in New York City in my apartment here. It's fine, but it's incredibly boring.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that that tells you why Lawton has decided to join us today.
Yeah. otherwise it was a hard no any other day.
We understand. We get it. You know,
Bob and John and Brian, you're mentioning shows, and there's a show produced by the same people as Yellowstone, and it's called The Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh yeah,
it's based on Kingston, Ontario, where the Kingston Pen is, and they say that Kingstown is in Michigan, so they play it up as it's Michigan, but the actual director is from Kingston, and this whole thing is based on the Kingston Pen and the penitentiary that are around there. It is really good. It's worth the watch. I'm only two episodes in. I think that's all there is into it right now, but it's a good one.
Do you have to be from Eastern Ontario to appreciate it, Darren? Or?
Yeah, well, I didn't realize. Well, I guess I did. I grew up in Ottawa. So what's Kingston? What is Kingston about? Probably from Ottawa? An hour and maybe an hour.
Maybe an hour.
An hour and 30, maybe something like that.
Oh, really? That much? Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the drama, the size of the penitentiary, they fill them in Hamilton, some parts of probably outside of Toronto, and then down towards Kingston. So, I mean, actually all the settings are right there in Ontario.
Do you have any idea where you're watching this show? Is it an HBO show?
It's on that Showtime. It's the same. It's on Paramount. Yeah. It's on that Paramount, the same that's streaming Yellowstone, which is a phenomenal show. The quality of Yellowstone, I just noticed where I stream it, the audio, the colors, Yellowstone is just way more vibrant, and the other ones not so much, but it's still it's really good on Paramount.
Should we get to hockey, or do you guys want to still talk about TV shows that lot well,
Judge,
toward
well, watching? Well, John Shannon says Judge Judy. Judge
well,
Judy.
How can we go Judge Judy? How could we go this far without talking about Succession? Come on.
I'm more of a Billions show. Guy. I'm more of a Me Billions too. Guy, John.
Well, I can see that, Brian. You, I can see you being a Billions. You know, I can see you. That's kind of your, you know, that's the world you live in, Brian. I mean, look, I look out the window there and see Manhattan, you know?
It is Manhattan, yes.
Well, for what it's worth, I've sworn off television now that Bobby Flay is leaving the Food Network. I've decided not to watch anything anymore. Let's get to some hockey stuff, for God's sakes. In no particular order, Evander Kane's 21-game suspension is about to come to an end. What the hell's going to happen with him? What's San Jose going to do with him, Lawton?
Well, that's a great question. I think that Doug Wilson, in the end, will have to figure out a way to reintegrate him with the group. It's obviously gone pretty well for San Jose, better than people would have expected. Evander hasn't been there. There's been a lot of discussion about chemistry in the locker room, leadership in, leadership out over the last few years. So I'm fascinated. Don't quote me on this.
But,
I believe that there was some potential options there with San Jose if they did not want to bring Evander back after everything that happened. We'd have to get a resident CBA expert to dive into that. I claim to know the CBA pretty well. I certainly believe there was something there, but that did not happen. So that tells me that Doug Wilson has plans or designs to bring him back into the fold at some point here, at some point very soon, as you just pointed out, Bob.
Hanger, that sounds like a high-risk move to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually... I do agree with you, Bob. And again, not knowing the legal jargon and the ramifications of what you can or can't do. This is just my personal opinion, is that I thought there might be an opportunity there to exit stage left from the team's point of view, get away from the contract, kind of reset the entire dynamic of the San Jose Sharks without Evander Kane. And we all know what was said at some point prior to training camp, that several players, whether it was anonymous or not, would have preferred it to be without him. The way that they played, they're a different group, guys. Brian, we all watch a lot of hockey. They've got something going. They're playing a different game. Logan, you can see that without Evander Kane or without, you know, anybody that takes up a lot of minutes and there's maybe a little bit of a magnifying glass on that person, you know, positively or negatively. I think Logan Couture and Hurdle, I think they're taking over the ship right here. And I think it's been a really good show. So if the decision were to be to cut the cord on Evander Kane for all reasons, I think the number one thing is, how are they playing without him? And I think the answer is they're playing pretty darn well without Evander Kane, and there may not be any need to bring him back into the fold.
Let me ask a quick question here of Mr. CBA. Can you even trade a player who's suspended?
Yes, you can trade a player who's suspended. Well, okay. The question that you meant to ask me, Bob, is can you still terminate him effectively which is what Panger and I were alluding to.
I actually wasn't. I actually do understand that part of it. I just wondered whether there was some reason why they've held on to this guy and maybe waiting for 21 day games to come up and then move him.
Maybe move him, but I do not believe you still have the optionality to terminate him at this time.
That I
understand. I think you would have had to do that back then.
Let me ask you this, Brian. You're a former manager, and both of you guys played the game. Would Doug Wilson go to his players? And I'm dealing in a hypothetical. Or if you were the manager, would you go to the players, whether it's your leadership group or in a team setting, and say, listen, what do we want to do with this? How do we want to handle this? How do we want to manage it? How important is it for the players to have a role in going forward for this organization, Brian?
I think it's critical in all the organizations now, John. The players, it's not like when Panger and I played, nobody cared what we had to say back then. And you just dealt with it. It wasn't just Panger and I, it was the majority of the players. In today's world, it's mirrored the rest of society. There's more inclusion. There's more participation. There's more asking and acting off of what the players have to say. That's just a change that's happened all throughout society. I think Doug Wilson absolutely would have those conversations with his guys, but I'm drawing my conclusion on the basis that nothing happened with Evander. I don't believe they could terminate him now. I don't believe you could trade him, as you're asking, Bob. And I think you're left with a couple of points. Number one is you bring him back onto your roster and you try to kind of start anew. Or number two, you don't have him there. And it's really hard to prevent hockey players or people in general in the U.S. from working. And that's essentially what you'd be doing. You could say, just stay home. Mm-hmm. That's not as easy as it may sound. Evander has a right to come back and play. They have to figure out what to do with him. They could waive him. There's all kinds of different things that are potential options. But no matter what, it's going to be dicey for the San Jose Sharks.
Darren, what do you think the role of the players, his teammates, are in all of this?
Well, I would hope in this situation that if I was a player in that locker room that the question would be asked, especially this far down the line. What, they played 18 games, you got three left. It's an imminent situation that, I'm a player. I would, and you're in that locker room and you say, okay, let's allow us inside there. Let's allow us inside the thinking. Are we going to vote him off the island and absolutely say, you know what, we don't want him in this locker room, or, you know what, we're all for it. Let's give him another chance. He's faced a lot of adversity, what have you. We think that he makes us a better team. We don't think he makes us a better team. We think we're going to give another chance. Some guys, we don't think we're going to give him a chance. I tell you what, I think you have to have communication in this situation and not force him down their throat. They've seen what's happened. They've seen what's been done. They've seen what he has done. Then they've seen how they are playing right now. I don't know why I say this, and I'm speaking for anybody except for myself. I don't see a path in which he returns to the lineup and it goes well. I mean, I just don't see a path that it happens.
Neither do I. I'm with you, Panger.
I don't. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I don't see how you bring him back. I think the perception is, quite frankly, he's a selfish, bad dude. He's got skills. We all know that. But I find it hard to believe that and especially when things are going well for the team. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Lawton, you don't agree?
No, I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying. I'm just pointing out that it's more complicated than that. You can't just banish somebody because you feel like it.
Understood.
Now you could say, stay home, we'll still pay you. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. We'll try to move you when we can, have your agent call me. You can do that song and dance. And maybe that will be the answer. We'll find out pretty soon.
Brian, could you waive him for purposes of a buyout?
Yes, you can waive him. Are they going to waive him for purposes, you know, unconditional waivers so you can buy him out? Yes.
That's a lot of money, though.
Yeah, you can't. You're not going to get a discount now, right? That's right. That'll be in the off season. So
the other question is, and I don't know the answer to it. I'm only asking if somebody is he fully vaccinated now? Because remember, that's why he was suspended for not following the protocols.
That's right.
And well, you have to
really
have
put his teammates in a bad spot by doing so.
Well, yeah.
And of course, there's privacy laws on that, correct, Brian? So
there is. You have to imagine he is vaccinated now. In the scenario that you're suggesting about waiving him, though, it's not waive for the purposes of a buyout. It's waive for termination. Right. He obviously is never going to accept a termination now. I felt like you could have done that before. If you really look at the CBA.
Yeah, I was wondering when the timeline was for that. Yeah.
I mean, when he was suspended because of what he was suspended under. There's some leeway in the CBA there. I don't know of any cases, so I'm not saying it's 100%, but I certainly feel like it was pretty damn near that.
I can't remember our contracts, but a moral clause, what he did was morally wrong by fibbing
exactly
like that.
So that was that opportunity. You.
But wouldn't you still have 3 days? You still have three games. Wouldn't you still have 3 games before the 21 games take place that you could still impose that?
I felt like that had to be done within a couple of weeks of that when I looked at it. So I feel like that ship has sailed. We'll find out. It'll be fascinating. I don't believe that option is still there for the club. I do believe it was there earlier. I don't represent San Jose and I'm not making a claim that that is 100% truthful, but
I do remember being being in San Jose in the early days when you're playing in the Cal Palace, and I went there for Doug Wilson's 1,000th game, and you guys had a party on a cruise ship, and my wife and I joined you because Wayne Pressly is a good friend of mine, and Doug Wilson, I think Bob McGill might have been there. Yeah, yep. I remember those days there, Brian Lawton. We had a lot of fun.
We did, and I actually very vividly remember the players coming in for that, some of Doug's friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. At the old Cal Palace, 1,000 games. It was. Yep. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, Doug Wilson probably could have come in as in the Hall of Fame. I know he just entered as a player. Probably could have entered as a builder for all he's done for San Jose. First captain, 1,000 games, and then been in management this long.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't going to talk about this, Darren, but you posted one of my favorite pictures.
Oh, yeah.
At Old Chicago Stadium. And there you are standing beside Doug Wilson.
That's right.
And with all due respect, it's like those little events where the minor hockey kids are standing beside the NHL players. It is one of the great pictures of all time. And you're the starting goalie, and he's the starting defenseman on the ice standing for the anthem, I guess, listening to Wayne Mesmer sing. So.
A fan sent me, this is the great thing about those old days where we didn't have an iPhone and you couldn't get an instant photo. I've had more pictures that I've kept over the years. A fan has taken and mailed it to you, and you've got this great picture. And I looked at that and I don't have any pictures of me standing on a blue line for the national anthem, let alone in the Chicago Stadium, let alone seeing Doug Wilson to my right and Troy Murray, our dear friend that's battling cancer right now. And we just traded for Rick Vive. He was on the left wearing number 20. Everybody thinks it's Secord, but it wasn't. And then Bob McGill and then Dan Vincelette, and then the Edmonton Oilers of Kevin Lowe and Anderson and I think Grant Fuhr. I mean, what a great pitcher. Well, I mean, phenomenal.
It really was. I mean, when you posted it, you did that the day of Doug Wilson's induction into the Hall of Fame. It put a smile on my face. I got to tell you, it was fun.
I'm glad to hear that because I just ran into Dean Evason the other day. I was doing a game on TNT and he brought out his first ever penalty shot. And he knew I was kind of around the media scrum and he goes, "Yeah, I had one penalty shot and that guy, he thinks he stopped it, but it hit the post and he thinks he got his glove on it." He had one penalty shot and it was in Chicago Stadium. And sure enough, don't I have a picture from a fan from behind that Everson's coming towards me? You see Pang, you see Everson. He shoots it. I've got my hand like this. It does look like I made a great glove save. Bob, I made a great glove save. But I actually, he fanned on it. It went off. I didn't touch my glove. Went off the outside of the post and wide, but it looks like I made a great save. And sure enough, the picture is from a fan and it's in black and white. It's the best.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Before we move along here, and you guys get too comfortable with anecdotal stories. Is there a team out there that would be interested in trading for Evander Kane?
No.
No.
Not a one.
No. No, and not because he doesn't have skills, as you pointed out, just because the contract is still onerous.
Yeah.
You know, half the teams in the league don't have any cap space as it is. Never mind try to fit a guy in like that. I suppose if you would start looking at, you know, other albatross type contracts to take back, maybe. But my suspicion is less than a 5% chance of that happening.
Well, don't you think character plays an issue? I mean, isn't his character in question here?
Yeah, but you see a lot of people that are willing to take a shot.
Well, I get that.
That is the understatement. Everybody, for every generation, there's three general managers that say, whatever happens, I can fix that guy. You know, that happens all the time.
Yeah, always. And you know what? I mean, Doug Wilson is a great human being and a guy that, you know, gave Evander Kane an incredible opportunity and made the trade for him, signed him to a long-term deal. But what has taken place is, you know, it's just, I don't know. You're in a team concept here. You're not an individual. You're not a tennis player or a golfer or whatever, where you can go off on your own island. You're a team player. You've got to be part of a locker room and part of the team. And I just think there's just a little bit too much going on right now for him to fit into that team. And I think for other teams to look around and take that chance. I really don't see it.
Enough on that. We'll take a quick break, come back and chat about some other things with Darren Pang, Brian Lawton, back after these messages. All right. If you're watching this, Panger is holding up some picture and it's completely blurred, Pang, which is exactly how I would have expected any picture of you to be.
It's these new filters now and these new this is an iPhone 13 or something. And then filters kind of freak it out a little. You can't even see the back. See that?
No, I know.
No. Huh? Actually, Darren, that was when you were trying to push in the picture back and forth, it reminded me of SCTV when they were trying to promote 3D. You know, those guys, those Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas and all the boys doing their weekly show and they're doing 3D TV. Ooh,
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was going to say when Lotz, you were talking about the smell and losing that sense and all that. That's why every single night I come home from a game and I pour a nice little Bibb and Tucker bourbon and I smell it and I go, oh,
no COVID.
And then dump it down in the sink because you wouldn't want to drink that crap, would
you? That's exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah. Thousands wouldn't believe that, but we do. Darren Pang, Brian Lawton with us. So there's a lot of things you can explain. We're 2018, whatever it is, games into the regular season. There are teams playing like crap. There are teams that are playing great. I'll tell you one I can't explain. Really. And that's the Calgary Flames. You can say, okay, they made a coaching change. The guy's a genius. He's done this kind of stuff in the past, at least for the short term. That's the difference. I'm not buying that. What? Somebody explain to me how the Calgary Flames went from being at best a mediocre team to a complete juggernaut, literally like that. Go ahead. Anybody, Lawton, shoot.
Okay. So when you hear Daryl speak, he says so little that sometimes it's hard to make sense of what he means. He's direct, but indirect. He's cryptic. He's this, he's that. Daryl is a very smart hockey guy. Panger knows this because he knows him. He is. Yep. He's a little bit of a nutty professor, so to speak. He does things very specifically. I heard him talking the other day just about, he was talking about changes in the game. Brilliant observations, right? Star players used to play out in front of the game. It was a very north-south league. And along comes Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon and all these other guys that now play behind the game, right? They play a lot lower. Mm-hmm. They play with the game in front of them. They go through it. So I just think Daryl's a genius personally. I really do. I think that he's gotten that team. And Pierre LeBrun wrote a very nice story on this and hit on a lot of these points. He's built a team that plays right through you. Defense is first. Everybody buys in. And everybody finishes their checks. His teams are always structured. And that which was old is now new again in the National Hockey League in terms of the way he's playing and having success. I think it's been incredible to watch. The goaltending's been through the roof because the system's there. And Daryl does not mince words with players. You're going to do it his way or the highway. And everybody in the media, like myself, said, these young guys, they'll never buy in. That's not going to work in today's world. Well, guess what? We're all wrong, and he's all right so far, because he's been magnificent.
Yeah, by the way, Bob, this podcast is we're only going to talk about former teammates of Darren Pang. So another former teammate of Darren Pang, right, Darren?
Yeah. Man, this is
now, it's Panger, hard. Tell it's me hard. I'm wrong on that, because you know him way better than me.
Well, it's hard to believe I only played 81 games in the league, because I love the era that I played in, and I was lucky enough my first year that I got called up to the Blackhawks, just to make this very short, but in 84-85, Daryl Sutter was the captain. I played a game in the regular season, and then I was the third goalie for the entire playoff run that we all know was the Chicago Blackhawk Edmonton Oilers highest scoring series of all time. And I was the third goalie for that. So that's a long time being together with the guys and being on the ice. And as the third goalie, Murray Bannerman didn't skate very often, so I was there a lot. And so I really got a good feel for Daryl, the captain. Well, then the year that I made the team in 87, Daryl retired after his 95th 100th arthroscopic surgery on his knee. And now he was the assistant coach. And then when I was rehabbing a knee in Indianapolis, he was the head coach. I saw the evolution of Daryl Sutter as a coach. And I always found that he evolved like Bob Pulford did as a coach. People forget that Bob Pulford was a very, very good coach. And he had an innate ability to go around a locker room, hunch down, and look at you and say, Rocky, I need you to play tonight. And Larms, I need you to go. And he'd give you a shove. And he'd go around the room like that. And he could pull something out of you. And Bob Pulford could hit you right in the groin and then have his arm around you like that. And somehow you felt great about yourself. And Daryl, I think, especially when I was in Indianapolis, I felt, oh my, I've just seen Bob Pulford here. And I've seen the way Daryl works the room. And he, at one point, I imitated him in the LA Kings locker room in front of Drew Doughty, and they were laughing hysterically because I was imitating Daryl. But his ability to take you on and to make you feel better than what you're feeling, the feeling that he has when you're just a little bit too full of yourself, to just knock you right in the groin again and knock you down and then keep you leveled out. And the fact that he is a straight line coach still to this day. He all his drills are split the ice in half, center iceman goes down low to the crease, curls to the left, wingers go straight lines, defensemen are tight, everything's tight. 5 feet here, 7 feet here, 7 feet here, 5 feet here. There's no such thing as a home run pass for Daryl or a hopeful, wishful pass. Everything is structured. Everything is systematic. Everything is simple. Everything is in straight lines. The teams that struggle right now are going like this, you know, except for when Connor McDavid has the puck, that's a different story. But when you are filling up lanes, like Daryl loves to fill up lanes, you have great success. The other part about it is that maybe isn't getting enough recognition is the addition of Kirk Muller. I think that Kirk and his personality and the way he can get into players and the way that he can also infuse confidence and have that relationship, I think it's a really neat combination for the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, it's interesting. They, Jacob Markstrom has been spectacular for them. 5 shutouts already. Mm-hmm. Their backup goalie has 2. They have 7 shutouts already this season. And there are, I think, six teams that don't have seven victories in the National Hockey League. They have seven shutout victories. It truly is remarkable. Do you, Darren, think that, you know, this is a copycat league, and when owners start to panic, and they go to their manager, are they saying, we need to find another Daryl Sutter? Where's the other guy? Who's out there that's sitting there waiting to coach in his 60s?
Here comes Hitch and Babs.
Well, that, I mean, so is it unreasonable to think that in the copycat world, we're going to see the reinvention of some of these guys?
You know what? History tells me, yes. Who's the best coach that's not coaching right now? Is it Mike Babcock? I mean,
well, Scrudeck will certainly tell you. Yeah.
In the NHL. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you know, what Brad Treliving and the Calgary Flames did was really, I'm going to say, courageous, because, you know, everybody looked at it and said, well, Daryl, how close is he to it? But, you know, Daryl was, what was he called? A consultant to the coaching of the Anaheim Ducks?
Yes.
For what?
Yeah.
Right. So he was there, but he wasn't there. But Daryl's smart enough, and we all know he's smart enough to look around and see the players and see what's changed and what's not changed and how to deal with them and how not to deal with them. And at the end of the day, I don't think Daryl's going to go back to the farm worrying about whether somebody was going to buy in or not buy in. He was going to get them to buy in. If they didn't buy in, then they were going to be on their way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not disputing anything you guys say. I just happen to be from the philosophy that I don't care how good the jockey is. It's the horse that's running the race. You can jockey your ass off. If the horse is too slow, you ain't going to win. And maybe what we're seeing here is a team that was dramatically underperforming.
Which they were?
Well, I think you have to make that argument, Panger, mm-hmm. That they were underperforming. And now with Daryl there, he's sort of figured out how to get those engines fired the way Calgary fans expected them to be. But I'm still surprised by how good they look, because they look really, really good.
I mean, Johnny Hockey was a shell of himself. Who didn't wonder what his motives were? Did he want to even be there? What was the plan? Look at him. Monahan, I know he might have been banged up and what have you, but they were just not the same hockey players as they were before. I know when Daryl first took over, I knew this from talking to Matthew Tkachuk, because he lives in St. Louis in the summertime, that, you know, the first couple of games, I don't think Matthew played the first couple. And, you know, but Daryl right away was watching games, maybe before he took over, and he was sending texts and, hey, I like the way this goes. Yeah. And I like the way that goes, you know, like, I always think of Daryl, and I've got his cell phone, but I always think he's got the flip phone and he's on the tractor and he won't answer it or won't be able to text, you know?
The Montreal Canadiens and Vancouver Canucks are both in a mess. Montreal says we're going to ride the horse and see what happens. And Vancouver's really saying nothing. If you're running the Canucks, Lawton, what are you doing? What's the next step?
Boy, that is a very good question. For Vancouver, everything for me kind of turns on the play of Elias Pettersson, and he has not been very good. He's looked like a shell of himself from the first 18 months in this league, which is remarkable to me, because, you know, he was such a light, he's still light, but he was so light then, I almost thought, geez, I can't believe this guy is having the success that he's having right now with where he's at physically. Mentally, he's off the charts. Ever since really that early year, first year and a half, he has not looked like the same player. And this team is built around him. And without him being there, being a dominant guy, this team just looks completely lost. I'm not crazy about their makeup. There's a lot of things I could go into, but ultimately, right now, where do they go from here? If you're Jim Benning, you are going to live or die on Travis Green's ability, who I think is a very good coach, by the way, to get him going. And Trav knows that. he's no stranger to this league. He had a great career in it. And the fact of the matter is he just has not been able to find the right buttons yet, though. But it's not from a lack of trying. I just think it's been an all-out enigma for him. And for Jim Benning, the analysis would run deeper than just Pedersen for me.
Sure. Some of the other. Well, I tell you what, Horvat and Besser in the last 2 weeks have been invisible.
Yes. I'm talking more about the construction of the team.
Oh.
When a general manager has been there for 8 years, it's enough time to kind of get things how you want them in place. We're not talking about 1 or 2 years or even 3 or 4. We're talking about 8 years. You should have a really good feel for your team. You should have a really good feel for what your weaknesses are. You're going to try things and they're going to miss. You're not going to be 100% on everything, but it feels like they've missed more than an acceptable amount with what they've done there. And it's led to them being in this position, led by Pedersen.
Let me be the devil's advocate there, because Darren, you did the Blues games in the bubble in Edmonton. And I think if when that Stanley Cup was given out in Edmonton, if they said, what are the 5 top stories going on, the Vancouver Canucks play in that play-in round and then in the playoffs would have been one of the top 5 stories in the bubble. Don't you think, Darren?
Absolutely. 1,000%. That was that team played hard. They forechecked. They were tenacious. For me, they were one of the teams in the West that were on the rise. Mm-hmm. Now I look at this team now, this was just what their last game, Jason Dickinson, Pedersen and Brock Besser, Tanner Pearson, Bo Horvat and Nils Höglander, Connor Garland, JT Miller, who didn't play center when he first got there. He was a winger on the top 6. He was actually a winger on the top line. He would have been in there with Jason Dickinson. And then Podlaskin, Tyler Mott. This is a different team, different constructed team, you know? But that team there had some belief in them, and they went up against a heavyweight that had won 30 games in the regular season, and they were the defending Stanley Cup champions. And I got to tell you, that team was really, really good. This is a shell of that team. They've lost some spirit and they've lost some spunk, and it starts with, I think Pedersen, I don't know what's gone on the last couple of days, even a year from that point on, being a slight player, I don't know. He had 5 points in the game in St. Louis in those. He had 3 goals and 2 assists. He walked around with a little of, quite frankly, arrogance. And this is what I do. This is what I've done all my career. And that's not there anymore. And I'm not really sure what's gone on there. I really have not been sure, because it's been a team that I thought was going to be on the rise, and it's clearly not on the rise.
We only have a few minutes left. I want to address the Montreal Canadiens as best we can. The return of Carey Price may turn their fortunes around. And we all know that if there's one thing that can do that for in this sport, it's a goaltender. And he's a pretty good one. I don't know what our expectations would be of how that will happen. But if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, you're shocked, aren't you? I mean, the Vancouver Canucks last year, year before, didn't really produce enough. They were optimistic, but not based on performance as much as hope. The Montreal Canadiens went to the Stanley Cup final last year. We can all say it was a fluke and they got hot at the right moment. And
fool's
blah, blah, blah.
Gold, Bob. That was fool's gold.
I don't disagree with you, John, but they did it. And fans of the Montreal Canadiens, we all know, thought, okay, tweak here, tweak there. You know, maybe we get another run at it. The only thing they're taking a run at right now is the number one draft choice. Lawton, can that be fixed with the return of Carey Price alone?
Yeah, I do have a theory on what's going on. You know, I mean, we had, 3 teams win 8 cups over an 11-year period when you think of Pittsburgh, Chicago, and L.A. But the league has changed since then, and it's really Panger's fault, because when St. Louis won the cup, they were different than – they were different than everybody else. They didn't have a 1 and a 2 and a 5 and a 7 pick. Certainly not that they drafted. They had Alex Pietrangelo was their only top 5 pick. And that marked, in my opinion, a shift in what's going on in the NHL to some degree. The margin of error is so thin in this league now. The Montreal Canadiens, they lose Shea Weber, they lose Carey Price, Edmondson's out. And all of a sudden, it's a little bit of a tire fire there for a team that went to the Stanley Cup playoffs. I just think that's the new world we're living in. It's much closer than you think. If you get on a run, if you're healthy, if you have all your guys playing, you're closer to the cup than you were 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And I think that's a change. And I think that this year, to some degree, we've seen a little bit of that. The Anaheim Ducks, raise your hand if you had them where they're at. Now, they still may fade, but it's been a pretty good run. San Jose in that category as well. Even Buffalo, better start. We don't know if it's sustainable. But my point is, teams are closer than ever in this new cap world, the deeper we get into it, particularly with the pandemic, with the salary cap slowing, with everybody getting bunched even tighter. Those are just repercussions of it. The whole be bad to be good strategy that worked for those three teams I talked about, that's over. We were able to take advantage of that in Tampa, and they're probably the last people that'll really have that, you know, because of Stamkos and Hedman, you know, guys that are still obviously meaningful players for them. But in today's world, Montreal, they can go for the first pick overall. You're never going to see runs like you saw before, when you would get rewarded for being bad because of the way even the lottery system we had was still favorable enough where you could make hay. That's gone now. We changed that system in 15 and 16. Now you're closer than you think. Go for it. Almost every team every year, you should be taking a swing at it. It's a new world.
Well,
yeah, Bob, the Montreal Canadiens, what are they getting back? They're getting back. They got back Jake Allen. Edmondson did return, right? It's his father, Bob, yes, that's suffering from throat cancer. A man I know really well, and my heart goes out to Bob, big tough guy. And Cedric Paquette, right? So they're all returning with Carey Price coming back. I look at Dallas only a couple of years ago, getting to the final in the bubble and losing. Been a tough one for them since then. I think Montreal will go through a tough time for the next couple of years anyway, after reaching that height and getting that high and then, you know, not happening, and then having Shea Weber not there and then having Joel Edmondson out for a little bit of time. I don't see the return of the Montreal Canadiens back to the playoffs anyway. I don't see that happening for that. This is just me for a couple of years now.
Well, the record suggests that, that ship has maybe already sailed. The chances of coming back from the kinds of starts that Vancouver and Montreal, among others, have had is really, really rare.
But, well, you know, boys, funny, we don't say that about the New York Islanders. Everybody, they've really struggled, but yet we're like, well, the New York Islanders, they're going to come back somehow.
Well, except how do you start the season 13 games on the road? And then they got their first two home games, and they got seven guys on the code of protocol. There are enough built-in excuses, I think, for that. The one team that Brian talks about, I know we got to go, is right, and swinging for the fences, is the team that Darren saw last night, and that was the Golden Knights. Vegas always swings for the fence. They just have, I think, they just have to tread water until Eichel gets healthy, correct?
And other players back, yes, 100%. Yeah. Vegas has a good team. They'll be there in the end. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they're a formidable team when everybody's healthy.
Boys, yeah, they were without a lot of key players last night, that's for sure.
Yeah. We must off. It's always lovely to see you both. Stay healthy. Too late for
lots,
you.
Lots. Stay healthy, lots.
Get healthy.
I'm trying. We'll stay longer. I got nothing else to do, Bob. I mean, if you double my pay.
Yeah.
Take it up to zero, then I'll stay longer and do another show if you need. I mean, I'm just hanging out by myself here.
All right. Well, stick around. We'll do about five more shows, and and then we'll send you some food that you can't taste or smell as appropriate compensation.
And a little bourbon.
We love you, boys. It.
Just a test.
Just a little. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you down the road, I hope. Have a
great
good one.
See you, Panger.
Yeah, you too. You too, lots. And Bob and John, thanks for having us on, bud.
Take
Take care, guys. Darren Happy Thanksgiving Pang. In the States.
Brian Lott. Yeah, yes, happy Thanksgiving to both of you. We'll come back and wrap it after these messages. So our thanks to Pang and Lawton for joining us. Only a brief moment here for some reflection. They both... You know, go ahead.
I'm just saying, we talked about coaches being reinvented. We mentioned Babcock. We mentioned Hitchcock. We didn't mention Bruce Boudreau. And so maybe we should talk to Bruce about that.
Well, he has reinvented himself a couple of times, but is looking for another opportunity to do the same, I guess.
Yeah, and working on television in the United States in the meantime. So he would be, we should try to get him on the show.
Who's the coach in most peril right now in the NHL, would you say?
Gosh, that's a...
Well, Florida hasn't hired anybody full-time, have they?
Well, no, Andrew Vernet. I tell you what, Andrew Vernet's done a really good job there. And the general manager there, Bill Zito's kind of given Andrew a real vote of confidence, saying he was part of the foundation of building this team. And they're playing well enough that I'm not sure there should be any reason for change. I mean, they're playing really well.
I'm not suggesting that other than, you know, he was interim, given the interim tag, and that hasn't been taken off yet.
Right. But I think, we talked about Vancouver, and, I don't like mentioning that Travis is in trouble, but when ownership's involved, Travis is there. Rick Bonus, two guys that both have been on the podcast, Rick Bonus in Dallas, although they haven't started to play a bit better of late. And you wonder when ownership gets impatient or manager gets impatient. I don't see both Jim Benning or Jim Neal being impatient with their coaches, so. I think it's difficult to create a list right now, and particularly because, as Brian said, things can turn around quickly. And I don't see Dom Ducharme, who's just signed a new 3-year deal. I will be surprised if he coaches next year, but right now I don't see that happening imminently.
Hard to know, but coaching changes are almost an inevitability in professional sports. And, somebody is going to surprise us by saying we're going to get a new coach, and they're going to do it because their team is not performing and the GM doesn't want to be the first one to go. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with something hopefully of interest. We thank you for watching or listening. For John Shannon, Bob McCowan, see ya.